Playoffs? Don't talk about it. Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
Hey! Football! That's right. Oh, God. Football. It's got it all right now, doesn't it? NFL Australia, welcome to it. I'm your co-host, James Clements. I'm a writer sometimes for Rolling Stone. Whoever else wants to pay me that sweet, sweet folding stuff. I'm here in Larry Armour Studios, sweating like a priest near a preschool at the moment. Jeez, it's hot. Oh, so hot. Anyway, on the other side of this here iPad, it's a bloke who's now pretending he's excited about the Eagles in the playoffs. But secretly, he's just quietly so used to winning as a Packers fan last week, he's now got a whole bunch of Aaron Rodgers gear on the way. Watch out, it's former Eagles fan, it's sometimes singer in a band called The Ramshackle Army. He's my mate, he's your mate, it's Gaz. Gaz, what's going on?
Jimmy, apart from football, I've spent the last 3 days chasing rats, mate. I'm just chasing fucking rats. I'm just out there trying to get a rapid antigen test, just fucking one here, one there, just trying to not be... Maybe I'm just going to, until football season's over, I'm just going to call myself a close contact. Never have to leave the fucking house. I've got to go up at 5 a.m. to watch an Eagles game, so I'm just going to, like, take the day off and just say that, maybe I'm a close contact for the next 4 weeks.
I like it. Just calling to work. Look, yeah, I'm just close again. Close again.
I've got to stop looking those doorknobs.
Chasing Rats does sound like a Ramshackle Army song, though.
That does.
Down there in the bilge of a fucking First Fleet something. Anyway, yeah, we're here to wrap up the first week 18. That's right, the first week 18 in NFL history,
definitely
basically.
Definitely the best week 18 I've ever watched of the NFL.
As best we can, we're going to wrap it up for you. That's what we do. We wrap up everything from the last week. And the cool thing is, we set you up for next week, which is, of course, this week, the playoffs. Playoffs! 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 Anyway, it's all in one dumb, drunken NFL Australia package. I'm not drinking this week because, tell you what, Fat Boy Jimmy went Fat Boy over the last couple of weeks after Christmas. My nerd! All right. Anyway, it's episode 43 of NFL Australia. Let's go! This is Carson Wentz, and you're listening to NFL Australia. Alright, Gaz, what a week. What a week 18 this was. So we usually have a bit of a chat before the show, just quickly, you know, bash some shit out. And it was basically just going, what the fuck just happened? And that was basically what this one was about, which was gnarly, because... We always start the show off with random thoughts. Tell you what, a little bit has happened in the past 7 days. I'm back in the actual studio, which is, I'll tell you what, nice, because I can actually see you properly. I can hear you properly. I can hear myself properly. The only difference is, you know, I'm not near the beach. Bit shitty. What are you going to do? But week 18, it all happens. And it all goes, look, Saturday starts okay. And then Sunday it just goes haywire. Indy, fuck it. Big Ben gets one more game as Pittsburgh get in, Gaz. Chargers, Raiders, they give us a classic. I argue the fact that the Raiders actually won this makes it less of a classic. If it had have been an actual tie, this goes down as all-time the greatest tie in the history of the NFL. Yeah. Anyway, Cowards could have kneeled and it would have been awesome. But anyway, the Chargers converting fourth downs like they're going out of style. It was awesome. Tennessee clinched the number one seed. KC in the number two in the AFC. Bills clinched the AFC East for the second year straight. The Packers rested their dudes. Detroit, they're the greatest 3-13-1 team ever, Gaz. I love them. They're awesome. I'm all in on the Lions next year. TB, they're in number two. Gronk got paid because of his mate Tom Brady. The Cowboys killed your Eagles and nailed the number three seed. The Niners got in. Absolute scenes there for the Niners. Hilarious as well. I did text a couple of my Niners mates saying, wow, it's good to see you guys have finally got a QB. They're like, but we don't. That's the problem. I'm like, no, Deebo Samuel. He's awesome. Holy shit. TJ Watt tied the sack record. We actually missed out on a couple of the other big major records, though, as well, which is a bit of a shame. Cooper Kupp, your little man Cooper Kupp, didn't quite make it, Gaz.
My man.
Bit of a tough
my
one.
My man.
TJ Watt just looks like a tub of margarine, I'll tell you that much. And now he owns the fucking ties the sack record. Incredible. Then, of course, comes Black Monday. It wasn't even Black Monday. Like, it just happened even quicker than that. Fucking Vic Fangio was taken out the back and shot quicker than you could say boo after that game. Brian Flores cops it from Miami.
Did you just make a Melbourne Cup joke about the Broncos? The coach of the Broncos was taken out and shot like he was Melbourne.
Not bad. Matt Nagy, he's gone. Mike Zimmer, he's gone as well. So those two were the non-surprising ones. The fact that Joe Judge, I like that he was told that he still has a job a couple of weeks ago. And now that Dave Gettleman has air quotes, retired, guys. Joe Judge reckons he's going to have a bit of a say in the GM search. That laughter you heard was everybody in New York fucking laughing their ass off at this idiot Joe Judge, which is amazing. And, of course, the fact that Joe Judge is still there, David Culley's still there in Houston at the moment. We don't know what's going to happen there. And the Fakasha, Rick Pakasha, he's, like, there in the fucking playoffs now. So, Gaz, the playoffs are set. The NFC, we've got the Packers in the one seed, the Bucks in the two, the three is the Boys, the four is the LA Rams, five is the Cards, six the Niners, seven is the Eagles. Pretty gnarly. There was a weird sort of situation where the Saints could have made it. They didn't. Everybody's pretty happy with that because I don't think we need Pittsburgh and the Saints in this fucking playoff setup, do we? In the AFC, you got the Titans, you got KC, you got Buffalo, you've got Cincy, you've got the Raiders at five, you got the Pats at six, and the Steelers at seven. Which was just dumb. It was the Steelers we're going to get to that in the game wraps, but it was dumb. It's just dumb. I hate it. The first 18 picks of the NFL draft are also set now, Gaz. Do we need to go through them all? Like, notably, the Jags clinched the one seed. The Lions are at the two. The one seed. The number one spot. It's the opposite of the one seed. There you go. Lions in two. Three Texans. Four to the Jets. Five to the Giants. Six to the Panthers. Seven to the Giants again because of the... from Chicago. Falcons at eight. Nine to the Broncos. Jets get the Seahawks pick at 10. Then you've got, a couple of Eagles ones at 15 and 16. And then the rest will be all the playoff seeding. So...
Yep.
Pretty funky kind of week. A lot happened. And it's just weird because it's 18 weeks. Like, the regular season has just kind of gone on and on and on and on. And I'm kind of happy with it. I'm going to talk about that later. But, now that it's done, Gaz, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, look, it does feel weird. Look, we talked about it last week with all the records that just don't quite have the same shine. Right, as having an extra week, and Cooper Kupp came out this week and actually said it, like, yeah, those guys did it in less time. Like, how do I feel so happy about it? But, the fact that there were so many games that had an impact this week was pretty fucking nuts. There was something watched, and we spoke about it once of those things we spoke about before we jumped online, that one of the things that the NFL managed to do right this week was have a lot of impact games on at the same time. So Rams needing to keep an eye, games needing to keep an eye on each other, and making the Cowboys, were always going to kick the shit out of the Eagles, but making them have it on the Saturday, because if they knew the results of all of the seeds above them, well, then they wouldn't have played.
So they
did well at making as many of those games meaningful as possible.
Yeah, it's always a great moment in the broadcast when you do have the commentators showing the boxes with GMs and presidents looking over their shoulder and watching a TV to see what's happening in a different game and stuff like that.
Always a great
moment in the last week of the season. Yep. Right, let's do some game wraps then. Final regular season game wraps. Unbelievable scenes. So much fun. 18 weeks we've been doing this again, guys. It's great. Anyway, KC, they took care of the Broncos 28-24. When I say take care, I mean they only just sort of took care of them. Drew Locke just went out there and just played the game of his fucking life. He was cooking, and it looked like KC
He was the best running back on the field.
He was. but it was a fumble return, saving KC's bacon, right? 7 minutes left. Bang, right there in the red zone. Fumble off a... sort of strip sack. Well, it's not a sort of strip. It was a strip sack because it was a scoop and an 83-yard score. That's a hell of a scoop and score, Gaz. 83 fucking yards. So with this, KC then hold on from there. And KC were the number one seed for that moment. And it was until the Titans won that they sort of gave up the ghost on that one. But nice way to sort of finish the season. As mentioned, Fangio was just taken out the back and shot. And that was it. So his What a weird couple of years for the Broncos has been. But anyway, we can sort of use the offseason to reflect and talk about stuff like that. But strange end of their season. Just a weird season. Look, we talked about it all year. Denver, just a fucky weird team. And KC, again, didn't cover a spread. That's what they've done all year. But they did get the win. So they're going in as the 2 seed, feeling good about themselves, I guess. Maybe. Whatever.
Yep. All right, next one. Cowboys, 51 at Eagles, 26. I'd like to reflect on how right I was last week when I went, how the fuck is this a 7-point line? Because it seems like the only people who didn't know that the Eagles were going to rest fucking every man and his dog was the people in charge of the betting lines. So your mate Gaz scored a lot of money betting on the Cowboys this week. It was fucking great. Look, the Eagles elevated 10 players off the practice squad, Jimmy. So you're limited to how many, for those who don't know the rules, you're limited to how many people at a time you can elevate off the practice squad, except if you've got players on a COVID list. So guess how many of the 11, of the 12 players we had on the COVID list we returned? One. That was Jason Kelce to come out and take the first snap to keep his starting streak alive and then fuck off to the bench. The rest were guys that I didn't know the name of and had to look up a million times as an Eagles supporter. But let's look. Kelce came on for his one snap to keep his 121 game record streak alive. With the sad part of that is that ass kicking. If he retires at the end of this year, that was his last game at the link, potentially. Devontae Smith went on and got his 40-something yards, which broke DeSean Jackson's rookie receiving record. Then he went and took the bench. And the Eagles were without our top four leading rushers, including Hurts and Miles Sanders and Jordan Howard and Boston Scott all took the bench. But Dak just came out and did what you would expect Dak to do against third stringers and practice squad guys. He threw for 5 TDs. Broke the Cowboys franchise TD record, and they ran all over the Eagles in an unsurprising turn of events. So they're going into the playoffs with a full head of steam, but the last time they kicked the shit out of someone, it was Washington football team 2 weeks earlier, and then they shit the bed against a decent defense the next week in Arizona. So we'll see what... See, I really don't have anything more to take from that game, except for both teams came out relatively unscathed, except Tyree Jackson, our third string tight end who's been playing well, did his ACL. Like, ooh, that's the worst thing that happened. So look, we both came off playoff, heading to the playoffs and relatively healthy. So I think that's the best thing to take out of that game.
Nice one. Brandon Allen versus Case Keenum. Let's do it. Woo-hoo! Browns, Bengals. Oh, God. Whatever. 21-16, Cleveland win. I guess they finished their season on a high note. I guess. Whatever. The Bengals, but look, this is 21-10. Like, whatever. They sat T. Higgins, Joe Mixon. They let Joey B stay home, rest his knee, and the Browns won. No Baker, obviously. Like, whatever. Who knows if he's going to be back. I think based on the evidence, who cares? You know, it's one of those vibes. Like, oh, will Baker be back? It's like, does it matter? Like, he doesn't seem good. Who gives a fuck? So anyway, whatever. That's it. Browns beat the Bengals. It didn't matter. Bengals were just like, we're fine. We're happy. Like, we're cool. The rest of the results, they can go the way they want. Well, happily take just the 4 seed anyway. And boom, they did. So there you go.
There you go. All right. Packers 30 at Lions 37. The Lions won themselves out of the number one draft position and would have known it because it was, when we talk about the games that were played at the same time, the fucking ass kicking that we will talk about next was fucking obvious. So it was clear that the Jags were going to win. So they could have literally backed off. But I'm kind of all for it, right? So there's no... consensus number one draft pick. There's no quarterback top heavy number one draft class. So, but what they've gone in with is positive vibes, and they have fucking played their ass off for Dan Campbell, right? Like, they've just shown fight at the end of this season with all the bullshit that happened at the heartbreak at the beginning of the season where Dan was like, you know, crying into his Gatorade. Fuck, he's got these cunts running through walls. And Urban Meyer, with all of the accolades that he got, never got that, right? So, and Amon-Ra St. Brown is legit stuff. Like, this guy got another touchdown. And he's showing something that these guys have got. something in their future, but who's going to give them the ball? Because there's a lot of money to pay to Goff to be playing the way he did. But look, from the from a Packers point of view, they already had the first round bye. So they put Aaron in because, you know, having 3 weeks off full football is a bit fucky. So stick him in for the first half. He went out there, threw a couple of TDs, looked like he was having a bunch of fun. And then Jordan Love came in for the second half. And if you're a Packers fan, after the bit of time that we've seen Jordan Love this year, you'd be fucking hoping they bend over and give him that new contract, give Aaron that new contract, wouldn't you?
Yep.
A couple of picks. Ended up, like, couldn't lead it back against one of the worst teams in the league. Yeah, you've... Anyway. Pack go in, well-rested, healthy, and ready to go in that one seed. And the Lions are looking forward to 2022.
Biting lots of kneecaps is what they did all year.
Biting lots of kneecaps.
Love it. That's they end up with a 2 spot because the Jags kicked the shit out of the Colts.
Yes.
That's right.
There's a segue for you.
The Jags kicked the shit out of the Colts. The Colts... who ruined basically, you know, my December for us watching them, you know, at the pub beat my beloved Patriots. But 26, I want to say this, I want to call this what it was. It was 26-3 for the vast majority of this game. It was, the irony was there were a bunch of Jags fans there. They were clown out. They were trying to get the clown out. So it ends up with a couple of hundred clowns there, which is not quite a clown out, but not bad. And they clowned the Colts, which was fucking hilarious. Oh, sweet irony. Trev was smoking. Wentz was stinking. It was absolute hilarious territories. Trev goes 23-32. It was the best game he's played since, what, week one, week two?
Yeah.
It was insane. 2 TDs. It's the first game with multiple touchdown passes since week one. So, meanwhile... Trev out there, it's like, who's that beautiful princess out there throwing that ball around? It's like, oh, God, it's Trev. Look at him go. Meanwhile, Wentz was just a sad sack of shit. Six sacks. 6 sacks, Gaz. Unbelievable. 2 turnovers that led to 10 points. He sucked. Like, it's not often where you watch a bit of a game and you're just like, this guy is just, like, he's literally submarining their season, like, in front of us.
Yeah.
Does he have money on them not making the... How much money does he have riding in this game on the Jags? Because it very much feels like if there was one way you were going to throw an NFL game, it's to play like Carson Wentz played. So he can take a play that's already bad, Gaz. And Gaz, he can make it worse. He's one of the few amazing qualities of Carson Wentz. He can go, hey, this play's falling apart. Watch me add a pick six to it. Boom, off we go. Hey! And that's what Carson Wentz done. It's incredible. He has such a talent for fucking shit up beyond all recognition that you almost have to tip your hat. The Jags, they clinch the number one pick. Colts miss out on the playoffs. Give the Eagles their pick in the first round, which is hilarious.
You hate to see it.
Look, it's almost like karma came back and bit them on the ass for lying out their ass about fucking Deflategate and trying to throw my beloved Tom Brady in the bus. So blow it out your fucking ass, Indy fans. Sucked in dickheads. Boom. There we go.
It was so weird. Like, I was watching it, like, at a certain point, and there was, I think the commentator said, because I was skipping between games, and I was only half, like, there wasn't a lot of interest in this, but there was some ridiculous stat of he'd attempted 3 passes longer than 15 yards. One was surgical between, like, you fuck, could barely see the window that it needed to get down to through T.Y. Hilton, and the next two were direct fucking picks straight to their defender.
To the Jags defenders. Like it's one
of them. It was like fucking ridiculous. And we'll get onto it a little bit more, but our mate Adam Gotsis was a fucking monster in that game. Moving on to my next one. Bears 17 at Vikes 31. Look, I won't spend much on this time because it fucking has little consequence. But we all know how much I like to fucking rant at friend of the show, Kirk Cousins. Battle of the Cursed Coaches. That nearly made me spit into my microphone. Cursed coaches. And it felt that way, Jimmy. Fucking Nagy went for fourth down 6 times and converted 1. 6-1. It's like, oh, I'm not even going to turn up on Monday. I'm going to do an Antonio whether you sack me or not. Anyway, the Red Rifle started because Jazzy Fields got it. Just came back for injury. Rona. Look, he'll surely be after a chance to start somewhere else. So it's probably his last game in Bears uniform, calling it. Don't care if it's right or not. But did we have any doubt that Kirk Cousins was just going to come out and go, ah, this means nothing. We're out of it. I should probably pad the stats. He did something like 175 yards and two TDs after halftime in a fucking meaningless game in week 18 because I'm getting paid a lot of money, so I should probably pad the stats. Fucking Kirk Cousins. And Jefferson, 17 yards short of Randy Moss's receiving all-time receiving record for a season for the Vikes, which is a pretty fucking solid record to get, even if Randy Moss did do it in 16 games. But yeah, so the at the end of the game, the crowd starts chanting, and let's go Justin, not let's go Brandon, let's go Justin, and then they start taking a knee, and they get boos, and that's what it fucking deserved. It was meaningless. Fucking hoik it down the field, go route. Anyway, moving on. That game was shit ass.
Jefferson ends up with 16 yards, right? 1,616.
Something
absolutely
for that. Yeah.
Fucking insane. Like, and it feels like he was quiet all year. Like, it's just, yeah. That's how good he was all year. It's just fucking bonkers. But anyway, my next one is Steelers-Ravens, the game that wouldn't fucking end. God damn. 16-13, it goes to overtime. It's just, it was, everybody there was like, can you put us out of our misery? Like, the game, it just wouldn't stop. It was crazy. The fourth down throw from Big Ben to Ray McLeod to keep the game alive was awesome. And, like, that's the weird thing about Big Ben. He would just, like, whip out one throw per game. We're like, oh, he still got it. It's going to be fine. That was incredible. And, I mean, that basically sets up the field goal to win it. And a couple of big defensive plays set up just them winning this game. Some Huntley interceptions. Whatever, they needed Indy to lose to have a chance, and they got it. Now they're in, which is just insane. This Ravens team is a mess, and the fact that Pittsburgh couldn't, it took them this long to beat them was just painful. And I'm like, I think that's what I wanted most out of the Chargers-Raiders game. I wanted those guys to tie, specifically because I don't want to watch the fucking Steelers again, guys. They're a pain. They're going to get fucking slaughtered by KC. It's ridiculous. Anyway, this game, look, it was raining. It was cold. Big Ben, he'd had his big emotional send-off last week from Heinz Field. He's playing his hated division rivals one last time. Wins the game. I feel like that's all we needed. We don't need the extra little fucking addendum. And then they lost in the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like, this is the movie ending. It's like, then he won his last one as well. How good is this? Now, fuck off. But no. The Raiders had to go and win that game. Anyway, whatever. Steelers got them. What can you do?
There's a meme already floating around Steelers Twitter. This is not like fucking anyone else. It's a joke amongst themselves where they're already sitting around a meme inviting fans to Big Ben's retirement party at Arrowhead Stadium. Right? So there's no delusions there, right? Anyway, moving on to the next one. Otherwise, this podcast is never going to end. I don't want to have a rant about this game that is inconsequential to so much of this, but I just cannot not talk about this dumpster fire. Washington football team, 22, at New York football Giants, 7. Now, Jimmy, Darius Slayton scored a touchdown in the fourth quarter of this game. That was the first New York Giants touchdown by a wide receiver since like October.
No.
Right? New York Giants, New York flaming football Giants, finished the season scoring more than 10 points once in their last 6 games. And an article came out this week, 2 days before the game, to say that their salary cap, Gettleman, one final hurrah. I think I posted this on the NFL Australia facey. The salary cap was managed so badly that they only had enough money to field 51 players on Sunday, not 53. They only had $279,000, and the league minimum to sign a player is $660,000. So they literally could not sign 2 more players. Holy fuck! And it's just as bad because Danny Dimes is still on his rookie contract. So it's only going to get worse, right? I don't want to laugh about this. Something is so inconsequential. But fucking Joe Judge still has a job. Anyway, nothing symbolized this Giants season as much as, I don't know if you saw this, Jimmy, but fuck me. The Giants had the ball on their own 2, 2nd and 11, and Joe Judge called 2 quarterback sneaks in a row, Jimmy, at 2nd and 11. 2 yards and 2 yards, and then, so it was like 3rd and 9, and then it was 4th and whatever, and they had to punt the ball. And they asked him after the game, why would you do that, Joe? And he said, oh, you know, history says that I needed to get our punter some room because I didn't want to punt out of the end zone and couldn't have him punt from the 2. So you decided you were going to punt on 2nd down. That's how confident you are. Like, how confident are you in your fucking dudes? Like, this guy cannot have a head coaching job. Fuck this guy off. Anyway, good for the Eagles, good for Washington, good for the Cowboys. Keep him around. Anyway, a year for Washington, look, it's a year that Washington would rather forget because I had them, look, I thought with that defense and Fitz coming in and getting Curtis Samuel over, like I thought, fuck, with McLaurin and Gibson, Jesus, and Logan Thomas, with all those weapons, maybe they'll make a run for the division and then injuries and shit just got derailed and whatever. So they'll let that forget. But Antonio Gibson remind us in this game that he's fucking legit with 146 and a touchdown. And Heineken, I've called him Heineken all year. I can't fucking stop now. Was just glad for the opportunity. You can see that guy stoked. He was just, he knows that he feels like a little bit of an imposter. But Washington is back on the drawing board in the quarterback market. And this was the last game as the Washington football team. So pretty sure that they'll be happy to draw a line under the sand and then be called the fucking, as of the 2nd of Feb, be the Admirals or the Commanders or the Red Wings or the, you know, Dolmio Grins or whatever they're going to be called. So, yeah.
The Washington Russell Wilsons. There you go. Love it. Nice one. My beloved Patriots lost again to the hated Miami Dolphins.
Let's sit on this game for about 45 minutes, Jimmy.
How about two fucking seconds? I hate the Dolphins with a passion. This game sucked, like, right off the bat. I'm watching it with this squid, and boom, what the Waddle TD basically did on what? It wasn't their first play, I think. But their oh, no, it might have been. Yeah, I think it might have. It took a while. 14
zip pretty damn fucking quick.
And then it was a pick six straight away. And you're like, oh, fuck, this game is just cooked. I'm out.
Yep.
Yeah, it must have been. Yeah, it must have. I think Miami just went down the field and just scored. And you're like, fucking hell, mate. And then boom, pick six straight after. And you're like, all right, this is going to be a long day. It was then 17-0, I remember. And we got a touchdown, what, halfway through the second quarter, Brandon Bolden. But, I mean, this is the thing, like, with this Patriots season, you've witnessed it firsthand, guys. Like, me getting, all right, warming up to it. But I feel like we peaked basically in November. And it's not been great the last month. Not great at all. In fact, it's been horrible. And I think a lot of this is a bit to do with the sort of lack of heart and the D. Mac being a rookie, obviously, the sort of pieced together, weird receiving core, the fact that we can't really use both tight ends really effectively just sort of sucks. But I mean, you get this on the big jobs.
Yep.
Somehow the Patriots always lose to the fucking Dolphins. Like, that's how it's. And like, the thing is, we were still right in it right till the end until basically 24-27. We get one more stop. And this is where it comes down to with the D and the Patriots. I think they've found themselves in this exact same position probably 6 times this season, where if the D can just make a stand, we might end up winning games that we lost. Or putting away games a bit earlier than maybe we needed to. And this one basically happened, right? It was 27-24. And the reason it's 33-24 as a final score is literally just because of a fucky pick six right at the end where it's like
it was
a
fucking great.
It was like a lateral, and then they just so tapped it good. In. And it's like, cool.
I love it when they over try commit at the last play and then some defender just like scoops that up and goes, whoop.
What annoys me about that in you've got one play, it's 3 seconds left on the clock or whatever, you're going to go the full length of the field. You can't even do a Hail Mary, obviously, because it's too far. Nah. How have you not spent at least one day in your off-season just studying rugby league and just going, right, so this is what we do in this exact situation. You break left, you break right, everyone stay behind the lead runner and just pass backwards and just get it along the line. They can't do it. Anyway, look, but more importantly, the D for the Pats is like the thing that's sort of just fallen by the wayside. It's been injuries, it's been COVID. Barmore got hurt on the weekend as well. It's just all a bit shit. And yeah, they just don't have like a game. Like Matthew Judon was awesome. But I think with a couple of the other pieces, like some of them getting a little bit old, McCourty's, Hightower, it's just it's a little bit long in the tooth kind of vibe.
Yeah.
Jamie Collins. And you're like, all right. But anyway, look, so I don't have like great aspirations going into next week, obviously, because had they won this, maybe I'd feel better about it. But yeah, I'm not really predicting soupy or anything, you know, at this point.
Ah.
But anyway, good job by Miami. They fired Brian Flores, which I'll talk about later, but yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I mean, that's like, just touching on that, like thinking about, obviously you touched on Flores early and in the sackings and you touch on him later, but realistically, they won 8 of 9, including knocking off a rival who's a playoff team in the last game. And the guy still gets fucking sacked, right? Yeah. He's not going to make it to next season without a head coaching job. No fucking way. Like, anyway. On for me, I'm at, where did I get to? Oh, yeah. Saints. Sorry, I'm running down my list. Saints 30 at Falcons 20. This is one of those ones where the NFL matched up a couple of games at the same time who had an impact. So the Saints were definitely playing for a playoff spot here. They needed a win and a Rams loss to get in. And the other was doing nothing but playing spoiler. One of those scheduling delights by the NFL. Taysom seemed to be playing okay. He was 7 of 9 with a touchdown. It wasn't running a lot. Then he went down with a foot injury late in the first half. And Simeon came on for what? Something like the fucking 600th quarterback change of fucking the Saints season. Jesus Christ. But really, the game went through Kamara, who ended up with 32 fucking touches, Jimmy. It's the most he's had in, something like 3 or 4 years. I should have written down that date, but it was something. It's been ridiculous since before a number of injuries. So it was 30 runs in 2 passes. The Falcons could have made it a bit more of a game, except for one. It was a fucking quite an amazing fucking interception by the Saints. It was fucking one-handed, beautiful thing that Matty Ice was trying to get to gauge. But 2 Mike Davis fumbles were brutal. And it's a year to forget for Mike Davis because he started as the kind of the bell cow and this is going to be his opportunity to really take the role. And he had lack of production plus some fumbles, never really got in the end zone as much as was expected. And then Cordarrelle's just come over the fucking top, right? But Matty Ice is in this weird position, right? So he's definitely on a decline in his career. His contract is fucking expensive, so who's going to take him on? And is he going to can he hang around for in a proper rebuild, right? Because they're like Ridley wants to go somewhere else. Gage is a free agent, and Pitts is going to be the leader of the offense, right? So it's weird spot for these Falcons and weird for these Saints because they've got to try and find an answer at quarterback in the offseason as well.
The New Orleans Matt Ryans.
Well, one of my mates online is a massive Falcons fan said that, and I'm like, dude, Arthur Blank is not giving Matty Ice to Sean Payton. There's no fucking way.
Love it.
Anyway.
Maybe just a straight swap for Rusty in a way. Yeah. Bills 27, Jets 10. Bills clinch. Off they go. This was close than it wasn't, which is a bit of a Jets specialty, right? Problem was the Jets just couldn't do anything at all. The Bills couldn't either, but the Jets couldn't do more, worse, less, you know. So they had a franchise low 53 yards, Gaz, of total offense. Total.
Holy shit.
Total, 53. Unbelievable. Devin Singletary scored twice at the end as well to sort of just put this away. And obviously when we get to the end of this show, we talk about our picks. Fuck me, just over the edge. Anyway, but the Bills clinched. I think this is the first time they've clinched the AFC East in front of their fans as well in years and years and years. So that's their second straight AFC title. Good on you. After a couple of decades of being dominated by a certain team down there in Foxborough, I mean, good on you. But yeah, obviously that sets up Bills, Pats next week, but pretty cool. Jets, I mean, look, they come out of this season just going, fuck it. Like, Zach Wilson looks okay. We're not bad. We're not like Jags bad, I think. We're not sort of Giants bad. Like, you look at the two New York teams, I think, and you go, the Giants, there's just cause for depression. If you're a Giants fan, you just look at that and go, oh, God, what the fuck are we going to do? With the Jets, at least, there seems like there's a glimmer of hope. You've got picks. You've got a QB, seemingly. You go from there, see what happens. So good on them.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Niners, 27. Went to the Rams, 24. This is a cracking game with lots on the line. Fucking Niners needed to win an in over the Saints. And based on what they would have been seeing down the TVs in the room, they would have been clamoring for this. And the Rams needed to clinch the division, right? Important game for all around. It was a wacky fucking start. The Rams D held the Niners to 22 yards of offense till just before halftime. And if they'd kept it to, I think the stat I heard was the lowest score for a Kyle Shanahan offense to halftime. Sorry, lowest number of yards was 60. And they were 22 till only a couple of minutes before. But they managed to squeak out a field goal. At halftime, it was 17-3 Rams way. And it was all like happy days, Rams in the division. But the Niners fucking clawed it back. Your man who you mentioned before, the Swiss fucking army knife, Debo, who got this stat line, Jimmy. 95 yards receiving, 45 yards rushing and a touchdown, and a 24-yard passing TD. Like, what can't this fucking dude do? But it was the Niners D that stepped up. So they had two picks of Stafford to go with five sacks, 13 hits, and eight tackles for loss just in the fucking backfield, right? They kept it close. They actually got even. There was a couple of things that that really turned this. One who was tied up, and then Jalen Ramsey made a diving interception in the end zone while the Niners were within field goal range. So that could have that saved the game for them. Cooper Kupp got in there, got his vibe, got his TD, and his fucking 117 I think he got, but he missed the record. But really, it was a slog for that last quarter. And then they obviously went into overtime and the Niners kicked away to secure themselves a position, which is fucking great. I would much prefer them in as far as entertaining playoffs go than the fucking Saints. So,
I mean, if the Saints have had it like a more impressively sort of fun D, you could sort of see them being like a grind it out, fuck you up kind of team. But just they're so inept on offense, like outside of Kamara, that it's just horrible to watch.
Yeah, 100%.
Whereas at least the Niners, as you said, Debo, he's fucking fun as hell. Like they're just kind of like a fun team. Even if Jimmy G isn't exactly the most light 'em up fun QB, there's just sort of enough funkiness sometimes in their games that you're just like, I don't know.
There's other little weapons. Yeah. There's all these other little weapons. If Jameis was still around, you'd be like, put the Saints in there because you fuck knows what's going to happen. He could throw 15 touchdowns or he could throw 1-7 picks.
He's going to go eat that win. Eat him. Yeah. Steal some crab legs on his way out. Titans, they beat the Texans 28-25. Looked like they were cantering this one in, right? Three TDs in the second quarter for Tannehill. And then they nearly shit the bed. They let 18 points go by the Texans, just straight up. Amendola had like two touchdowns and the two-point conversion.
Like, how are you still insane. Alive? Are you like 75 years old?
I loved it. I'm like, Danny, he's back. That's Patriots legend, Danny Amendola. But then Tannehill had like a massive, awesome, sick last drive, like 83 yards. Ended up in Julio Jones' first touchdown as a Titan.
They said that and I was like weirded out. What the fuck?
I had
that?
Him on my fantasy team all year. And I'm like, I swear he had at least one, but apparently not. Yeah. That's incredible. Yep. And so the Titans clinched the one seed with this very classic sort of Titans win for this season, right? Like, talk about TCB, taking care of business. They just did that kind of against bad teams all year without really sort of, in terms of one seeds, like they're not going to be a memorable, remember the number one seeded Tennessee Titans from 2022? I'm not going to be telling the squid that when he's old, you know? So this was like just the classic sort of way for them to finish off the season. Texans get like a meaningless one at the end. But Tannehill, look, he looked the goods, and that's exactly what you want if the Titans, right? Like go into your week off, get Tannehill feeling good, maybe get Derrick Henry back for the divisional round, and off you go. So good job, Titans. Congrats on the one seed. Cheer.
Yeah. And now he's got they've developed a capable backup in Foreman when he does, so you don't have to pound him with him like the whole time. And the other thing, I think the stat was Julio, AJ, and Deza have only been on the field for something like six and a half or something games this year, all at the same time, right? Yeah. Someone's been injured the whole fucking time. So if you get them all healthy and you've got that week and they're all playing with a good vibe, then fuck yeah. Anyway, Seahawks, 38 at fucking Cards, 30. So one playing for the division, right, and getting the home game, and the other one playing for nothing in what may be Rusty's last game. Seattle fans must have been scratching their heads going, where the fuck was this for 17 weeks? Because Rusty threw three, including two to old mate Lockett, who he just didn't seem to be able to find for weeks, scrambled for another one. And Rashad Penny broke the back of the Cards with a 62-yard burst through TD that was fucking sick. After the Cards had kicked a field goal to draw within four, right? It just broke the back and there was nothing left. So Rashad Penny just fucking second half of the season. He finished with 190 for the day. He's showing that he can be trusted to lead that. But they haven't really had a proper lead rusher since, what, fucking Lynch left, to be fair. But who the fuck are these Cards, Jimmy? The Cards have just added themselves into one of our... groups that we just don't know. After a sketchy month, after kick-ass beginning of the season, sketchy month, they seem to have turned a corner last week with a, great grind-out fucking win over the Cowboys, who were, feeling themselves after smashing the Washington football team. And then they came out and put this up. But they're the road warriors, right? It's one of those things that everyone's been saying. They don't want to play at home because all of their big wins, all of their good wins this season have been on the road and they've struggled at home. So maybe that's what they want to go out there. And anyway, we'll see what happens with these Cards next week. But I've got the next one as well. You fucking stole my TCB. Literally my first line of the comments is taking care of business. Panthers 17 at Bucks 41. I'm not going to spend too long on this game. Let's be honest. 7-0 down at quarter time. And Brady just went, yeah, that's fucking enough of that bullshit. Three TDs. Got Gronky's extra receiving incentive. Got Mike Evans two more receiving TDs. Then it was over to Blaine Gabbert to fucking kneel a couple of times and then see you fucking later. For the Panthers, thus ends another shitty year of fucking injured Christian McCaffrey. No real answer at QB. And Matt Rhule just looking pretty fucking clueless. So that's South. All of a sudden, the South a couple of years ago was the most competitive division in the fucking league. And then all of a sudden, Breeze gone. Matty Ice not once what he was. Panthers no answer at quarterback. And Tom just fucking ruling the roost, right? So, anyway, they've got to be going in there with a fucking full head of steam and then they get to run into my Eagles next week.
Maybe that's one of Brady's greatest sort of attributes, right? Like knowing to be in a weak division for as long as you possibly can. Like it's not Brady's fault that the Jets were horrible for fucking 20 years or that the Bills
and sucked. And Miami,
yeah. And here we are. And now he's doing the same thing. Maybe he's the catalyst. Maybe they just all cower in fear of his just incredible greatness. Anyway, finally, the Raiders Chargers. What a fucking game this was. 35-32 in overtime, of course. Comes down to a field goal at the very end of overtime. When a tie would have sent them both to the playoffs. The Raiders decide to fuck the Chargers. Kick the field goal and send them on their way. Unbelievable. What the utter bumfuck was this game? I have no idea. It was incredible. I was waiting to tape the NBA show because this game actually finished after the NBA games yesterday had finished. Just clapping and laughing delightedly on the couch. Old mate wandered in a couple of times. What is going on in this game? And I'm like, I don't know. It's insane. It's fucking chaos. It's awesome. It was, 29-15, I think, in the...
Yeah.
Fourth quarter, and it's like, what the fuck is going on here? How is this happening? It was absolutely bonkers and hilarious and fun and Juzzy Herbs. 29-14, and then Juzzy Herbs goes, all right, better start play pretty all right then. Bang, off he goes. It was like, oh,
but
actually,
not until fourth downs, Jimmy.
That's it. He has got no time.
First to third down,
he
fucking
doesn't
rubbish.
Give a fuck about your first three downs, guys. He's like, you know where I really fucking shine? Fourth down. The
fourth and 21.
The fourth and 21 touchdown to Mike Williams, basically, to get this to overtime,
rocket.
Was one of the single greatest throws and plays you'll see. It was a fucking dart. It's a fourth and 21. The game's over if he misses it. Nails him. Touchdown. Absolutely.
There's no
incredible.
Way Mike Williams doesn't have a bruise from that fucking throw. There's no way.
it was so good.
A fucking rocket.
There's like fourth and tens coming out of his ass, fourth and eights, fourth and nines. It didn't matter how long it was, it seemed. He's like, oh, it doesn't matter. We're going for it anyway. And off they went. It was incredible. The drive that lasted basically 28 hours to get it down. And then the overtime was just, by the time they kicked field goals each, you're like, I think they're just going to do this, aren't they? They're just going to do it. They're going to do it. Oh, my God, they're going to do it. And then they didn't do it because Brandon Staley calls the timeout. Calls the timeout. The timeout heard around the NFL world. Because, Gaz, it did very much feel like there was like a bit of a trust issue there that was then broken by Staley, just calling it out of nowhere. And you can see his approach, right? He's like, well, I got to set up my defense anyway. It wouldn't have mattered. But at the same time, you figure, if the Raiders just run that play there, they don't call the timeout, and they don't get the third, it was a third down, I think, wasn't it? The clock just basically runs, and the game's done.
Yeah.
Essentially. Unless the Fakasha goes, fuck it, let's try a field goal, and whatever, just as to be a massive asshole. Instead, they get the first down, they get close enough, and they get it all the way down, timeout, send the field goal unit on, boom, Carlson nails it. It sucks because, as I've said, I don't want Pittsburgh in the playoffs. I think the Chargers are a wildly entertaining, fun, weird, fucky team. And so are the Raiders. They're way more fucking entertaining, both teams, than the Steelers. So kind of sucks. But this game was just great. One of the all-time moments. The last game of the regular season, essentially. And it delivered. It was so fucking fun. 35-32.
I nearly watched this with a mate who doesn't know football, and I'm so fucking glad I didn't, because trying to explain to him what was going on while I was just trying to watch. But look, I kind of get the logic, and it all comes down to the judgment call and the spur of the moment. He wasn't happy. There was fucking painfully obvious. There was absolutely no way Derek Carr was putting that ball in the air, right? That last play. Yep. It was going to be run. He wasn't happy with the personnel. He had to call a timeout to get two of the defenders off and get two of his big boys on. I fucking get it. But in that post game where you see, I think it's Max Crosby goes up to Eckler and says, we were going to kneel.
Yep.
And that fucking, and then you hear fucking Carr in the post game conference when they go, did that change your mentality? And he's like, 100% that timeout play changed our mentality. We fucking went, because you got to think about it, if they went for that long field goal, and they had a Devin Hester back there who sat in the end zone and ran it back. Like, why would you risk it? Because taking that knee guarantees you the playoff spot.
Yeah, you're just in the playoffs.
So, it was that judgment call thing at the time that, you know, if he'd called it out, they'd gone fucking big up front in a defensive line and they'd stuffed them at the line and, you know, he was kicking from 67 yards out. Well, fuck, Dan, he would have looked like a hero because they would have taken the knee. But that's not how it went down, is it, Jimmy?
No. Like, some of the throws that Carr made on that last drive were pretty gnarly, like, just to sort of move the change and, like, at least leave the decisions in their hands. That was pretty crazy. Like, there's a couple of ones just over the top where you're like, oh, God, how is he? Oh, my God, he's made the throw kind of vibes, which was awesome. And you're like, I can't believe he keeps doing this time and time again. And it was pretty good. But Herbs, I just came out of that just going, Herbs can do it all. And you know me, I love Majuzzy Herbs. I really fucking love Majuzzy Herbs. So for him to, like, go this far with this weird and fucky team and then not make the playoffs breaks my fucking heart, but still, what can you do? All right, let's do some yeah nahs right after this. All right, Gaz, the yeah nahs are brought to you by thedailyliquor.com from East Ninth Brewing. Tell you what, hotter than hell here in Melbourne at the moment. I'm sweating like a priest near a preschool. I said that earlier. It's pretty brutal, but don't go get the Omicron by going to the bottle-o like a chump. bring the Bottle-O to you. The online Bottle-O, thedailyliquor.com. They got wines, beers, cocktails, all of the things that you need. And you can fire up some beeros. They'll drop it off at your house, your apartment, whatever. They'll do it Rona-free. That's what it's all about. And if you're banging the code STRAYA, you get a free six-pack on your mates Gaz and Jimmy. What else can we do for you? So this is for the Melbourne metro area. Same-day delivery. If you order before noon, go to thedailyliquor.com. Check it out. Tell them Gaz and Jimmy sent you with the code STRAYA. And a free sixer will come with your order. How good's that? Right, yeah, Nas. Gaz, do you reckon the Raiders fucked the Chargers? I'm going to take this one. Yeah, nah. Because the one thing that we didn't mention is that by winning, the Raiders avoid KC and play the Bengals instead. And they could very easily beat the fucking Bengals. Like, that's a much better matchup for everybody. Yep. Like, yep. I'm spewing that the Patriots end up losing out of this entire equation. I think if the Chargers make it in, we would be playing the Bengals. But because the Raiders make it in, we're now playing the fucking Bills. That sucks. And if you're the Raiders, you'd be looking at this going, if we win, we don't have to go to KC. We just play fucking Cincy.
Yep.
Fuck yeah, I'm kicking the shit out of this field goal. Fuck you again. Boom. So I kind of feel like that might be like a little thing in the back of their heads as well.
Yep.
So I don't know. What do you reckon?
Yeah, no, look, there is playoff spot when you do get to control that destiny as well. Look, the things that we were talking about not happening, you know, Devin Hester running it back from the end zone, that kind of stuff. We're all talking about points of a percent of a chance, right? Like, if you got Daniel Carlson, you are pretty much certain anytime within 55 yards, that's 3 points. But it does add up. You know, we're going to invent a storyline, right? So it does add a little bit more spice. As I said, look, it makes 100% sense why Staley would go, fuck, I know they're going to run it. I got small guys out there playing Carr's pass. I need to get my big boys out there to at least try and draw this tie. I get it, but that doesn't make a good headline, Jimmy.
It doesn't. Next one. Is Carson Wentz the Colts QB next year? Yeah, nah.
You want me to take this one?
Yeah.
I'm ready to go put on my Carson Wentz jersey. he is. Fucking obvious. They don't have a first-round draft pick. There is no fucking first-round quarterbacks. I guess not that there's no first-round quarterbacks. There's no consensus top 10 quarterbacks. They've invested heavily, mate. It's kind of, you can't, if there'd be a fucking revolt if they admitted to the fan base that they were a playoff team with a fucking 75-year-old Philip Rivers. They went to a, you know, supposedly fresher, rocket-armed, you know, MVP from 4 years ago, caliber before an injury, quarterback who basically got them out of the playoffs. And then moved on after 1 year. So, he's definitely there. I don't... Frankie Reich coming from that Andy Reid, Dougie P coaching tree, though, I have no doubt that they'll draft a quarterback in the probably the third or fourth round. Developmental, someone underneath him to, you know, the last thing you want. As we know with Carson Wentz, helps to have a good backup.
Damn straight. I'll tell you what, it was nice seeing Andrew Luck at the college football title game today. That was kind of fun.
Ah, fuck, he looks weird. All the memes kicking around.
Very weird.
He looks skinny as fuck.
Out there, climbing the Himalayas, whatever the fuck he's been doing.
So man,
it was very strange. And like Wentz and Frankie Reich, it does feel weird. It's like, who would want Wentz outside of like his former fucking coach as well? Like, it's kind of weird. Like, you could see maybe someone like the Saints and like, you know, someone like Sean Payton, like rolling the dice on a dude like Wentz maybe. But otherwise you're like, Jesus Christ, I can't imagine like it'd be a robust sort of market for the Wentz. Anyway, yeah, but look, they're kind of just painted into a corner, right? Like, the funniest thing is, I feel like you would have thrown up in the air who's the winner of the Wentz trade at any point in the last sort of 12 months. And now you can just say, oh, well, it was Philly because they got out of all their fucking money. They got a first-round pick out of it. The fucking Colts missed the fucking playoffs anyway. This is awesome. Like,
we took one hit, 1 year hit out of, you know, where there's a bit of a joke that we're up for like 40-something grand, 40 mil, something, 50 mil this year in dead money. But we're out from under that now. We've got the least, I think the stat was the Eagles have the least amount of starting, we would lose the least amount of snaps to free agents. At the moment, everyone's signed up. We're like, and the ones who are available aren't going to cost us money. We've got Wentz off the contract. We've got 3 first round draft picks. And we've got guys like Hurts and Goddard and all those guys still under rookie contracts. So, yeah, we're actually in a decent position. So I think I'd definitely prefer where we are than where the Colts are right now.
Like it. Too long or bang on? What do you reckon? 18 weeks. Yeah, nah.
Look, I think it's got to take an adjustment year. Like, it's just misaligned everything, right? Like, as we said, I know records aren't a big thing, but they are in stats are huge in the NFL, right? And it's just thrown off everything that we've ever considered about how do you judge this team versus all these records. So-and-so's got the most yards of the franchise since 1943. Yeah, 1943, they had 12 fucking games. Yeah. There was 4 teams. they played the same team 3 times a year.
And they had to walk to the stadium in the snow.
And they had to walk to the stadium. And yeah, they had a factory job during the day and then they went and played football at night. Like all of these sort of things that come into it and it just that alignment. And the same thing goes with the 3 wildcard spots. That's always a little bit, the change in alignment in the last couple of years. It always just kind of throws things out. Having only 1 bye team versus the old school 2. All these things happen, but there's always going to be changes. They'll realign their divisions at some point, I'm sure. And like everyone's going to go, this is fucked. And then everyone gets used to it. So, all right. As long as they don't do it for 1 year and then go back to something.
Yeah. I mean, too much money involved for them to go back. My point would have always been like, you know how you have 18 weeks of football, you just give everybody 2 fucking buys. Like it just never made any sense to play 1 more game. Because you're just spreading out your product over a longer period of time. Obviously, the problem with that is you don't get an extra week worth of gate receipts.
Of course.
And you've got a stadium for that amount of time. But same time, man, what the fuck are we doing here?
What was really fucky about that is how late the buys went this year. Well, look at what I know. The NFL doesn't give a fuck about our fantasy. Actually, they do because they make a shit ton of money from NFL.com. Makes a lot of money on fantasy. It's one of those things that having buys so late fucked with. So, you know, there's a lot of teams who are having to bear through injuries during that whole point. And then there's teams that are getting healthy at the right time because they get to rest when, you know, the peak times. So that's a little bit fucky, particularly if you're the team who had the buy super early. And then you've got that kind of whole run home.
Yep. Last one. Did all the right teams make the playoffs? Yeah, nah.
Fuck no. We've got the Steelers in there.
That was basically a lead into the fucking question about me yelling about the Steelers again. It's like, fuck no, the Steelers suck. Give me the Chargers 100% of the time. But yeah, I think...
You know what? I almost would have preferred... Saints, right? I would have preferred the... the Saints as well. Yeah, I mean, that was the right call. I like the fact that the Eagles got in, not just because I'm an Eagles fan, but I feel like there's something plucky about having the number one rushing team in the league in there. Like, we don't have a great defense, don't have an awesome quarterback, but all of a sudden... Get the right run of football and a running game makes it interesting, right? And the same thing with the 49ers defense. Steelers, though, don't really kind of offer much of any of that, except for TJ Watt. Like, he's going to be great. But I would have much preferred, there's the fucking Cinderella story of the Ravens getting in, right? Because if Lamar had been able to come back, not played for a shit ton of weeks, and then come back and be... playoffs Lamar, just come in and like see you fucking later. And if they were able to even make it, even consider even a sniff of the playoffs with the amount of guys that they've had to pull off the street and just signing fucking no names, go, well, you're in our system now. Fucking run the ball 15 times a game, right? Like that would have been, there's a fucking great story about that. So anyway, didn't happen.
What can you do? In the NFC, I mean, you're right about, like, I feel like the Eagles are kind of fun because there's, like, a pluckiness to them and, like, just kind of, like, a weirdness. And, would you rather have seen the fucking Vikings in there? The Saints?
Ah, fuck no.
Washington? No fucking chance. Whatever. The Bears? Blah. Anyway, good bloke of the week for this week. The bloke we want to buy a beer. This one's an easy one. Tom Brady. Just out there making his mates some money. You love to see that. It's Gronk, his $1 million bonus. Antonio Brown, if he hadn't lost his fucking mind the week before. I'm just saying, in a second, I'm going to hit on Antonio Brown again, but Jesus. The Jags fan, good bloke of the week, with the Trent Bulky kicked me sign. Loved it. Absolutely. there was a stat floating around about Trent Baalke and all the coaches he's hired. And basically the last five that he's hired have all been fired, going back through Jim Harbaugh, Jim Tomsula, then through like all the Doug Marrone, Urban Meyer.
Oh, shit.
And there's like another one in the middle that I've completely forgotten about. But it is hilarious. It's also terrifying. It's like, yeah, that's how much of a fucking boys club NFL front offices are. It's fucking bullshit. Everyone hated Baalke at San Francisco. And he just lands another fucking gig running the Jags. It's ridiculous. But good bloke of the week. So that Jags fan with the Trent Baalke kick me, that's awesome. Buy that man a beer. And the Boswell-Carlson combo of game-winning kicks for Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Basically, it's like Daniel Carlson should never have to buy a beer in Pittsburgh ever again, and nor will Chris Boswell. Like, that's great. But Carlson basically kicking that, and every Steelers fan just like breathing a huge sigh of relief, which I argue, and I will say in a second, they probably didn't need to because it's not going to get any better. But there you go. There's the good blokes of the week. You got anyone to add there, Gaz? Anything?
No, I was going to. I'm fucking typing here because I wanted to pick up a stat. But Steelers fans are, after that kick, have been donating en masse to Daniel Carlson's charity.
Oh, that's nice. Legends.
So I was going to go Daniel Carlson as well. Besides the fact that he's been my, for about the last two seasons, been my fantasy kicker, and he's just pretty much fucking money every time. He's amazing.
Love it.
So I left it with the kickers because when you got overtime games with ones that go on for fucking 60 years, particularly, definitely worthwhile.
Old mate, no mates. Vic Fangio, fucking hell. I mentioned this. That was a very, like, did he make the plane? Like, did they fly him home? Like,
that's fucking crazy.
Well, like, oh, wait, I think they played at home. So did he make it down to like the locker room after the game to say goodbye to everybody?
Yeah, I was like, stunned.
Holy shit, it was quick. So that's very much some old mate, no mates. And this is the thing. So I'm about to get to this in the Flores thing in just a second, but there's a thing about the NFL and the way they hire and then fire folks with just like a disturbing regularity, which you just don't see. And it seems like in the NFL, it doesn't really end up with too much success coming from it, you know? So it's just a bit fucky. It's a bit weird. It feels like the most stable franchises in NFL, in NHL, in NBA, MLB, they don't have that much churn. So, like, if you're firing head coaches all the fucking time, I think the problem might be you and not the head coaches probably. But anyway, Fangio, definitely old mate, no mates. And the thing about Antonio Brown, so now he's hanging out with Kanye in LA. I'm just not convinced, Gaz, that Antonio Brown didn't realize that there was an 18 weeks this season. Like, I'm vaguely on board with the idea that AB was just kind of like, well, it's the end of this season anyway, fuck it. And then sort of did his, like, you know, lose his mind jig in the goddamn end zone and fuck off into the city and, you know, tell everybody to blow it out their ass. It's like, okay. Does he know there's one more game like that he could still use to get his bonus? What the fuck? What are you doing?
It's a bit weird. But then there's all the story came out this week about the OnlyFans chick who got called up to his room the night before the game and who like then's called everyone out and she's then tested, told the whole team to go get tested because she got COVID from spending a night with Antonio Brown the night before the game. He lost his fucking mind. And he was trying to get her to tape him having sex. She's got the tape that she's not going to release it because she's worried about his mental health. And this thing just doesn't fucking stop, man. Like, it's just out of fucking control. Anyway, look, mate, I got a couple of mate, no mates. Most of them we fucking mentioned, but Brandon Staley, sick timeout, bro. I'll move on for that one pretty quick. Carson Wentz, vindicating your old club while alienating your current fucking fan base. All in 1 week. That's fucking... You're not going to get any beers around Indy or Philly. But thanks, mate. John Mara, right? Three fan bases got sweet relief with the firing of a coach. Three. Nagy went out. Zimmer went out. Fucking Fangio went out. They were fucking whinging about and the Broncos. I'm not going to say four because I'm not... there's a little bit of anger in Miami about the way Flores has gone. But the Giants have decided to keep Joe Judge, and he's like fucking dribble about the future and how he's building a foundation. And when every other coach on the hot seat was getting fired, Jimmy, Joe Judge was today organizing meetings with his other coaches and players and talking about how he's looking forward to next year. Fucking hell. How has this guy got a job? When you talk about the boys club and people move, I'm like, oh, that guy, didn't he work for Bill Belichick one year? He should be fucking, he'll be awesome. Ryan Clark, that's the other one, Ryan Clark. Host on ESPN, who, quite well-known football player, known for his really good insights, ex-Steeler, said that he'd quit ESPN if the Colts lost to the Jags. There's no way the Colts are going to lose to the Jags. So there was a few people on Twitter this week just tagging ESPN going, ah, sorry, guys. Looks like Ryan won't be in on Monday. Fucking genius. No one wants to be with you, mate. Your insights mean donuts.
Yeah. The thing is, I actually really like Ryan Clark as an analyst.
He's
like,
good. Oh, yeah.
As an analyst, he's fucking actually, good,
yeah.
Right?
Like, he's fucking great, yeah.
Tells it like it is. Doesn't really sort of sugarcoat shit. No. Anyway, but unpopular opinion of the day. This Flores firing thing is endemic of the wider disarray of the NFL, I think, at some organizational level, Gaz. This is... I don't care if he and the GM didn't see eye to eye or whatever, didn't get along. This is just fucked. Like, Stephen Ross, what are you doing? Like, what's the proof out there that there's someone who could do that job better than Brian Flores right now? He didn't make the playoffs, sure, but, I mean, with this roster, it was young, it was rebuilding. All he did was exceed expectations. Like, it's fucking crazy to me that they fired him because Stephen Ross was like, oh, no, I want to keep the GM. What are you doing? That's insane. That's insane people talking. Do you know how hard it is to find a half-decent fucking coach in the NFL? GMs, they're a fucking dime a dozen. They're just fucking numbers dudes for the most part. I mean, yeah, you got to have a bit of an eye for talent. We get it, but Jesus Christ. The fact that Flores was seemingly rightly calling out Chris Greer, isn't it? About just some of the fucky picks that they've made in the past and all this sort of shit. Who cares? Like, you figure it out. Yeah. He's a fucking awesome coach. Like,
yep.
The fact that, like, the Bears are talking to, like, Doug Peterson is hilarious to me. So just go hire Brian Flores. What are you doing? Like, pay whatever it takes. Get him in. Holy shit. That's, like, the perfect sort of, like, panacea to what ails you, I think, if you're Chicago. But this is, like, what happens in the NFL. Like, the fact that... As I mentioned, the boys club of GMs and front offices and shit like that is just fucked. And the way that the NFL just doesn't really think outside the box when it comes to managerial sort of side of things is very, very obviously close-minded, which is not a surprise to the NFL. Like, if you look at the ownership groups, have a look and see what you got. But it's also weirdly close-minded in the way that, like, not many other professional sports are. Like, European soccer, well, worldwide soccer, fucking any other major sport at least takes managers and stuff like that from different parts of business and all this sort of shit. Football thinks that football guys are football guys and football guys is football guys and they're the football guys. And it's like, that isn't necessarily correct. And Flores is a fucking football guy to a fucking T. You don't choose the GM over the fucking coach in that position.
Yeah.
Like, 100%. The coach has turned this fucking, turned it from chicken shit into chicken salad. That's the phrase,
right? Yeah.
He's taken this horrible fucking roster that this moron has put together and made it over fucking perform. You're keeping the one who did and fuck this in the first place. This is insane. Yep. I feel like I'm a crazy pills guys. Like, what the fuck? That's insane. It makes zero fucking sense.
A very similar, not very similar, but from the boys club point of view, is going on with the Bears, right? And one of the things with the Bears is they've come out and gone, you know, ownership's come out and gone, we've not got the right direction with our GM and our coach, and we're going to fuck them off. But you know who we're going to lead the team by? The research team to find our next coach in front office is led by
Bill Polian. It's like
Bill Polian,
who has not had a relevant fucking football thought in his brain for the last 18 fucking years.
Yeah, Polian's Peyton Manning was an actual player, mate.
Oh, God.
He was an actual player. So he was behind Nagy. He was behind Trestman. He was behind all of the last failings of the Bears. And they're like, great. So he's going to pick some old dude from some old tree that are like fucking part of the mates club. Or, you know, Nagy wasn't part of the mates club, but he was part of that tree that goes back through Doug and eventually gets back to fucking Andy. And like, they've fucking met this guy once. They bought fucking so-and-so coffee in the fucking 80s, so you must be a good coach. Like, and the Bears are in for a, you know, someone's going to come and fuck with Jazzy Fields and he's not going to develop properly and, you know, all that sort of. Look, yep. To be honest, they could, I said, our mate Josh, who's part of the fantasy league and a mate of mine, tagged me in one of the Bears things about them interviewing Doug Peterson. And I said, mate, you could fucking do worse. Doug Peterson won more playoff games in 2017 than the Bears have won since 95. So there's that. can't do any worse.
Love
and
it.
He would build, you know what? He'd build a culture that has clearly been. The problem is, they don't need a culture. They need some fucking wins, right? And so, yeah, look, the Brian Flores thing, I don't fucking get it. As you know, like, I'm an NFC, not AFC guy, so I don't see as much of it as you do. But I just see a team who, at the beginning of the season, wanted to give up their fucking left arm plus Tua plus their next 6 years draft picks for Deshaun Watson, who's turned that into only a game off, really, but of making the playoffs. Knocked off a playoff team in the last week of the season, and then get the coach fired. It just doesn't fucking make any sense. When you've got all this, you've got 8 of 9 momentum going into the off season. It makes no fucking sense, apart from personalities.
Makes no damn sense to me. Anyway, and there was like other folks saying, oh, well, they're going to look for the Dolphins. We're like, whoa, Jim Harbaugh. Now that he's taken Miami to the, Miami. Now that he's taken Michigan to the playoffs in the college football, maybe he's off. And it's like, nah, makes it ridiculous. No sense whatsoever. And then there was like reports coming out. Yeah, nah, that's not happening. Australian Spotty, a.k.a. the Australian Player Watch, a.k.a. the Little Aussie Battler of the Week. It's your man, Adam Gotsis.
Fuck yeah. He was in there. I was flicking. As I said, I wasn't paying full attention because it was fucking Jags Colts, and I didn't really think. But it seemed that every time I flicked over the TV, his fucking name was coming out of a commentator's mouth. He was fucking living in the backfield. So he had a nice little day with a tackle for loss and a quarterback hit. But he just seemed to be around the ball, and just seemed to have his name being called. He was fucking had a great game.
Love it. All right, our back takeouts. It's Tuesday at Outback, and you know what that means. Yeah, better get on theoldseek.com.au because we've got 18 good men down. Because today's special got loose in the kitchen, and I've got to call some wives and families. But the special's fucking delicious. That's right, cassowary casserole. Only at Outback. That's right, Gazza killed 18 men. It's a fucking deadly bird. Anyway, today's flame grill take is, I think Big Ben and the rest of the Pittsburgh faithful should have wanted a tie in Chargers Raiders. Cool. Now you idiots get to end your season and career getting fucking belted by KC. What are you doing, you dickheads? Only at Outback. I was thinking about that the entire fucking game. I'm like, wouldn't you want a tie? Like, why do you want to go into the playoffs if you're Big Ben?
Yeah.
You've finished this season fine. You're not going to do anything. Just fucking right off into the sunset. What are you doing, big fella?
Oh, it's going to get some stat line that instead of 17 winning seasons or, you know, playoff berths, he gets 18 or something like that in fucking how many years. Yeah, awesome.
Radical. All right, Captain Fantasy. I don't know if you checked your daily fantasy lineup, Gaz, but mine won last week, went pretty bloody good. But obviously that's it for the daily fantasy for the regular season this year. So I don't know if we're going to do it during the playoffs. Probably not. It's a little bit tougher. Got a much, much more shallow player pool. So it's a lot harder. It does get a little bit more fun though, because you've sort of got the cream of the cream and it goes all right. But either way, Super Wildcard Weekend and Preview. Let's do it,
mate. I've been waiting. Oh, this is we're about an hour 10 minutes into this podcast, and I've been waiting that hour and 10 minutes for this section.
I love it. And the Super Wildcard Weekend. I'll tell you what. It's brought to you by. It's our friends at Manscaped, because those guys are legends. Basically, because they're like, guess what? It's time for a new year, and what does that mean? New balls, new junk. The happy new year from our mates over at Manscaped. The ball drop, but it doesn't mean you have to drop the ball on your balls, you know what I'm saying? Time you bring sexy back in 2022. Step up your game with the Performance Package 4.0. During the 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped, help them ring in the new year with the right tools for the job. So go to manscaped.com, use the code STRAYA, get 20% off and free shipping. It's a new year, new you means no pubes. Or maybe new pubes. Maybe just, you know, carve my initials into them for me, would you? Go on. Big JC. Walk around with a big JC on your junk, just to remember. Tell you what, new grooming routines that I've got going in this year. Love the ball spritz. Love a good ball spritz, Gaz. Go for a run. Give the little fellas just a bit of a wake up and go, hello, off we go.
Bit warm, right? Just drop the underderps and stand in front of the air conditioner. Just give it a bit of spritz and then stand in front of the aircon.
That'll wake you up. So that's what it's all about. Like, everyone's got like New Year's resolutions. Like, oh, I've got to exercise more, I've got to drink less. Don't do that. Don't be a coward. Just make sure that you look after your junk, because anybody who goes anywhere near or around is going to appreciate it. And that's what this year's all about. So, seriously, like in terms of like the crop reviver, the ball toner spray. If you're going to the gym, it's fucking hot at the moment. Like, what are you doing? Bang. Off you go. The crop preserver is an anti-chafing ball deodorant. You've got the no-nick technology. The advanced skin-safe technology with the blade. So just like this house, no nicks. No bloody nicks. Either way, your balls will thank you. Go check it out. 20% off and free shipping with the code STRAYA at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. Use that code STRAYA. Have no regrets this year with our mates at Manscaped. All right. So, Gaz. Playoffs. Oh, wait. Before we do playoffs, how did our picks go? So, 18
weeks. How did they go, Jimmy?
18 weeks.
How did they go, Jimmy?
Picking against the spread, week in, week out. You and I going hammer and tongs.
Woo!
You got up 6, I think, at one point. I pulled that all the way back. I got up another 4, I think, I got up towards the end of the season. And then, of course, you pulled back a couple last week as well. I think I was still up by
three before this week, yeah.
And then Gaz, out of nowhere, picks up 4 in week 18, ends up winning the year by 1, specifically winning by a half point.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Fucking a half point. We were dead on going into that Bills game. At the end of that Bills game, I was like, oh, I've not got this. They've kept it close. Like, Bills, they've got nothing to play for. And they won by 17 with a 16.5-point spread. Your mate Gaz brings it home by half a point. Fuck
so,
yeah.
After all that, I owe you a beer.
Yeah, which is when you consider the fucking half a slab that I owed you in the first season.
Yeah.
I'll pay up on one day.
Yeah, you pulled it back pretty nicely from a half slab down to up. One beer, so
yes, and I'm pretty sure I didn't finish second last in fantasy, Jimmy.
This is true. I nearly won the Sacco in our own league. Yeah. Anyway,
why does anyone listen to us, Jimmy? I don't know why. Fucking.
Well, I think so. Out of the like, if I've all my adding up, I don't know if I managed to get week one into this, but 134 and 135 for the season out of all the picks for all 18 weeks. That's against the spread, usually picking on a Tuesday night. It's not bloody bad, I'll tell you that much. And yeah, I think to be that close, like this week, actually, we got a lot of them wrong. It's a lot of L's. But I mean, the last 3 weeks, I think we've been pretty bang on. So here's to a pretty wild and fun playoffs. We're going to keep this going during the playoffs as well. So let's keep it going. Raiders, Cincy, first game of the playoffs, 8:30 a.m. Sunday morning, Australian Eastern Time. One big thing for this game, can the Raiders keep this up? What do you reckon? Or is this a Bengals coming out party? Is this Joey B? Is it Jamar Chase running over the top of them? I think it's the Bengals coming out, but I think it's the Raiders don't do things by half measures. I think it's a tight game. I think the Raiders cover, but they lose. So I'm going the Raiders plus 6. And I think Cincy win it, though.
Yeah, look,
One of the things that was clear that I was hadn't seen in a very long time was the way that Jacobs just fucking ran through. Like, I know that the Chargers defense can't fucking stop the run, but Jacobs was just running fucking through them, as was evident when every man and his dog knew they were going to run on that last play and he picked up seven, right? So I think they'll be a bit more staunch. Since he's coming off a rest, they played, but they didn't play. You know, Joey B, Chase, Mixon, they're all going to have fresh legs. As we talked about, that Raiders game went for fucking ever. And it's going to have taken a lot out of him. I reckon since he come out come out all guns blazing and that's the one they take.
Yeah, since he hosting a playoff game is pretty gnarly. I'm excited. And
yeah,
it does feel like 24-21 though for me. Like it just screams out. That's like a Cincy Raiders kind of line with Cincy winning it. The second game on Sunday, Buffalo hosting my beloved Patriots at 12:15 on Sunday. I've got pub cricket this Sunday, so I'm not going to be watching. Can you believe that?
Oh, I was going to invite you to see if you wanted to come down to Catfish again, because you had such a great experience last time, Jimmy. Another Pats game on a Sunday at the Catfish.
Oh, God. One big thing for this one, third time they'll be playing this season. Did the Bills break the Pats that second time round, or does Belichick still own McDermott? And will we see, I don't know, more than three passes in Buffalo from Mac Jones this week? What do you reckon? Looks like it's going to be cold. And
yeah, there's an article out, or it's come out already, that the forecast is for a shit fuck ton of snow for this game. So, look, I spent a bit of time on this. I went backwards and forwards on this one, and I think McDermott came out and had a massive fucking whinge, like was real salty after that three-pass game. I think they'll adjust and won't, like, there'll be a bit of pride in it. And they know, you know, as you said, your defense has been not as great the last probably month. And I think that'll be it's a bit of a redemption game for the Bills. They've got a point to prove.
My point is that Josh Allen, the last good game he played was the one where they kicked the fuck out of the Patriots. And he hasn't been that good since. So I've gone the Patriots +4. You've gone the Bills -4. I think the Pats can make this at least close. I wouldn't be giantly surprised if I have a bit of a heartbreaker here, though. But, I mean, you know, this year was always a bit of found money, I think, with a rookie QB, a bunch of free agents. I mean, shit, it's all good. So I'll take the Patriots +4, put a bit of faith in the guys, see how they go. You know, just faith in Bill, right? Just faith in Bill Belichick. In Bill, I trust, and just fucking hope that he still has the wood over the Bills like he has for a million years. So let's go Pats. Right.
Yeah, there's definitely a big chance that McDermott will adjust because he thinks he knows, fuck, I know what they did last time. I've got this. I've got the secret weapon against this. And then Bill just comes out and completely outsmarts him.
100%. Fingers crossed. Monday, early morning for Gaz and the rest of the Eagles fans out there, because the Eagles Bucks is at 5 a.m.
I'm kind of annoyed at that. Apparently it's socially unacceptable to drink at 5 a.m. on a Monday.
Not if you're still out. You're still out. You know, just make it a big Sunday night. That's all I'm saying. I mean, if my beloved John Curtin Hotel win a game on Sunday, maybe I'll still be out anyway. Come hang out. Eagles Bucks, one big thing for this. I mean, can this Tampa Bay D get to Jalen, make him win it? Or does the Philly D step up against the wounded Tampa Bay? Like, this is a big question-y kind of game, right? There's a lot going on. Tampa Bay are wounded. Who's he throwing to? Mike Evans and Gronk. The defense has been pretty sketchy for Tampa Bay for a little bit. But are Philly the team that can hurt him? What do you reckon? We've both gone Tampa Bay -8.5, so you've got no faith in your team, but that's all right.
Nah, look, I think it's going to be fun. Like, I'm similar to you guys, I think more so than you guys. We're playing with house money. The expectation, you know, Sims has come out, Chris Sims has come out, even taken a hit on the chin because he didn't have Jalen Hurts rated in his top 40 quarterbacks this season. He had fucking Mond above him and all this sort of stuff, right? So look, everything that we do from this point on is just fucking experience and a bit of fun. And I think I'm going to have fun watching these guys run on Tampa Bay. I think you can run on Tampa Bay. I've listened to a lot of the podcasts and a lot of the stuff that since we've had a week and a half to process being in the playoffs. And a lot of the Eagles podcasts were, who do you want to come across? And obviously Tampa Bay was one of the least that you wanted to come across in the, obviously not counting the Packers, because that was never going to happen. But who it was going to be. And that was the least, because you just don't want to face Tom in the playoffs. It's just simple as that. It doesn't matter who his supporting cast is. But on the flip side, Darius Slay following Mike Evans around all day, that's going to be fun as shit. Our linebackers, while they've been fucking terrible early in the season, have been better at covering tight ends. But this is a generational tight end in fucking Gronk. And they've been subject to the run. And that's the one thing that we do well. So, look, we're not going to win. I think we'll lose by more than 7 points. But is it going to be some big plays? Is it going to be exciting for both offenses? Yeah, I think it will. I'm going to really enjoy getting up at 5 o'clock and watching this game and go, you know what? We're in a good position to actually make some noise in a couple of years.
Morning whiskey. Dallas hosting the Niners, 8:30 a.m. One big thing here, can the Cowboys just keep it rolling, right? Like, you hit on this earlier. The simple fact is they'll play one really good game and then sort of shit the bed. Play one really good game, shit the bed. The Niners, similar vibes for a lot of their season too. So do the banged up Niners, slow it down, fuck them up that way. Is this Cowboys defense good enough to really just fuck up the Niners anyway? Who knows? I've gone Dallas -3. I think Dallas can win this. I don't feel this was one of the ones that I went back and forth on as well. Because I think the Niners are one of the teams that could easily beat Dallas. But at the same time, if Dallas are just on, there's not many teams in the NFC who could beat them. So
yeah,
it really is just going to be on the day. Do the good Dallas rock up? If they do, they win. If they don't, Niners can win it easily. So you've gone the Niners, I've gone Dallas. That's cool.
100%. And I'm for the exact same way. Look, this could have been a coin flip, and I think I went with the deciding factor was my heart, and my heart wanting fucking Dallas one and done. Because if we're one and done, and Dallas is one and done, well, guess what, Jimmy? We finished this season in the same position. But look, this is Dallas. Dallas have to go deep. That's what she said. Dallas have to go deep in this playoffs, because if you look at where they're positioned right now, we talked about the three-headed wide receiving monster all season. Well, Gallup's gone at the end of the year, right? It's a free agent this year, and he's just done his knee, so he's not coming back. Cooper's on 20 mil a year. He didn't hit 1,000 yards in an 18-week season. So it's going to be tougher to justify a $20 million a year wide receiver number two, because CD is clearly wide receiver number one. Zeke is 1 year closer to that fucking... He's definitely going to be one of the running backs who falls off the cliff, right? He's not going to be Adrian Peterson who's going to go on forever. He's vastly approaching that. So once that all happens, they're in a kind of win-now scenario. And when you look at the defense, they're putting up historically good numbers. That's not sustainable in a defense. They will revert to the mean. Right? Like, Diggs isn't putting up 10 interceptions a year, and people are going to start to scheme against Parsons and, you know, run the other side. Well, all of these sort of things that you can put in place. So it's now Jerry is expecting that they go deep. However, apart from playing backups and shitty defenses, Dak has looked skittish for a month and a half. Right? We're not expecting Jimmy G to come out and shoot the lights out. We're expecting the fucking 49ers D to hunker down. And then fucking Debo and Mitchell and Ayuk and Kittle to just make these plays over the middle and just fucky shit that the Cowboys aren't expecting. So if all of that happens, well then, all of a sudden, this wildcard team could be knocking off a division winner at home.
I also get slightly worried about Kyle Shanahan versus Mike McCarthy. If I'm a Dallas fan, I'm like, oh, God. We're going
to
get outsmarted.
Well, that's part of... Ugh. Look, to be honest, that's partly the other reason why that they need to win now, because I would not be surprised if Kellen Moore's on the move.
Yep.
And, like, they could be losing both offensive and defensive coordinators. And then you know what that leaves you with, mate? Mike McCarthy.
He over under how many watermelons he's going to smash this week? Like eight? 8.5? That sounds about right. Pittsburgh, KC. One big thing for this. This one's at 12:15 on Monday. One big thing. How much will KC win this by? Because, I don't know. Look, the thing is, my pick here is actually Pittsburgh plus 12.5. It just feels like
I know exactly KC why you're thinking that,
just fucking 30-20, and they just cover bullshit backdoor Big Ben throwing something at the end, and that just it's a 10-point game, not a, and it was for the most part of the game like a 17-point game and just a blowout. So, you know, that's how we'll basically end up landing. Because KC just haven't been covering. It's just 12.5's a lot. So fuck it.
Yeah, look, I don't know. You kind of make up justifications in your head when you get to this point of the season. You're just like, oh, I think that this is what they're thinking, right? This is what's going through their mind. Now, for me, that fucking Ravens game was a, as you said, the Ravens are a fucking mash unit. So that was way more of a grind out than they would have expected, and that'll take it out of them. Whereas KC, while they've snuck into this, you know, under the, almost, it's fucking weird to talk about KC under the radar because everyone kind of just discounted them because of how average the early season was. But they've got into that second seed, and now they're kind of need to, now there's a bit of pride where they're going to turn around and go, oh, nah, we need to show people that we're still fucking KC and this is Arrowhead, right? And they could just come out and all of a sudden go fucking whack.
Yep.
Look, Hill did fucking hurt himself in the last game. So obviously how he pulls up for the playoff, that's obviously a big, big, big factor. But I still, look, I just can't bring myself to pick Pittsburgh. I can't bring myself to pick Ben Roethlisberger in the playoffs.
I hate it. But the 12.5, I'm just like, it's a 10-point win for KC. So I'll just take the extra 2.5.
Yep. Fuck
it. And then finally, Monday Night Football, Tuesday on ESPN. Arizona at the Rams. I feel like we've seen this before. Weird one, because the one big thing for this is, like, Arizona, just a normal Kingsbury, Arizona, fall by the wayside team that have just managed to put up just enough in the first half of the season. They've fallen into the playoffs. Can they prove they're not just sizzle, or do the Rams just step up and just fucking dominate them? And we've both gone the Rams minus 4.5. I went back and forth on this a lot.
Mate, I've got no idea on this game.
I mean, Arizona on the road, I mean, you like that because, as you mentioned, like, they suck at home. So fuck
it. Road Warriors, right?
And the Rams haven't exactly filled me with confidence. They lose in the Niners this week. Stafford has turned back into the shaky Matt Stafford we kind of know and love. But the Rams are just so talented that they might just fucking demolish Arizona. We just don't know. And so I've kind of just leaned on the Rams minus 4.5 just because the track record so far, the last month and a half, the Rams are just a better team at the moment, so fuck yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and they've got, look, to be honest, they're healthier, they've got more star power, they're, like, on paper, the Rams should win this, and I'm hoping that on paper, that's how it rolls. But both of them were shaky this week when they had shit to play for, right? Let's not forget that. It's not like, you know, the fucking Packers going out there going, we did a little bit in the first quarter, but look, we just want to go out not hurt. These guys had shit to play for, right? Look, with Matt Stafford, he's just, I just don't want to leave it at Matt because I'm not on first name basis with him. But, like, he's still coming out and he'll still throw two picks a game, but he's still putting up those four TDs, right? So it's just that feast and famine shit with Matt Stafford that you're just like, well, it's really, how big an impact are your fuck-ups going to have? And with Kyler, I just honestly have no fucking idea. We said it during the game wrap. What the fuck is with this Arizona team? And who's going to show up? And is it the guys who knocked off the Cowboys or the guys who lost this week?
Yeah, it's exactly. Like, it makes no sense to me. I think I'm just, the safe pick felt like the Rams, and that's where we're at.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, there you go. Six games, playoffs. Oof. Playoffs, can't wait. And that's it. That's it for the week 18 and the regular season wrap of NFL Australia. Unbelievable. So stoked.
Jesus.
We're going to be back to wrap up the Super Wild Card. I love that it's still called the Super Wild Card round. I love this. That's what we're going to do. We're going to wrap that up for you next week. Six games. The cool thing is, we have 16 games in a normal week. We'll probably spend just as long talking about these six playoff games because that's what we do. When we've got fucking stuff to nut down in on here, We just dig in. Dig in and talk a bit of shit. It's what we do. Because we are weekly with all this dumb shit. We don't forget. Chuck us a follow on Facey, Twitter, IG. Chuck us a rating and review on your podcast app. Come on. Don't be a fucking Scrooge. Come on. Help us out. What are you doing? Just do it. Just do it. Do it now. Big thanks go to House Hats for the intro and outro song. Go check them out. And smash the dailyliquor.com. Use that code STRAYA, get a free six-pack. And, of course, go to manscaped.com. Use the code STRAYA and look after your junk. We'll get 20% off and free shipping. And get around NBA Australia. We're back doing daily shows. Back from holidays, no doubt. You know? Back into the grind, Gaz. The grind. What are you going to plug? You've had to cancel some shows. Joseph.
Mate, fuck. Look, to be honest, it was not something that was unexpected, but we had to make the decision. The Ramshackle Army had to make the decision this week to cancel next weekend's Sydney and Wollongong shows because Premier Erite has made the decision, that's fucking rightly so, to ban dance floors and singing. Singing kind of puts a bit of a dampener on what I tried to do. So, look, with that and the number of hospitalizations, I'd prefer to sit back in my house and be a close contact and watch football, to be fair, rather than travel interstate. So, look, Ramshackle Army are going to restructure our gigs. But, we're a month out from the Super Bowl, Jimmy.
Yeah.
A month and 3 days, which means that we're starting to put some feelers around and about what we're going to do for the Super Bowl party. So, anyone who's in Melbourne, stay tuned. We'll be posting stuff on the socials and we're making some plans and hopefully do some fun shit, some dumb fuckery. Anyone who stuck around after the Super Bowl at Catfish last year knows how much of a fucking train wreck that became. Work was not great on the Tuesday morning. And what's even better this year is Super Bowl's on Valentine's Day. So, love you, missus. Anyway.
Lock it in. All right, well, there you go. Well, can't wait. The regular season's done. Now we're in the playoffs. Can't wait. So, there you go. Another NFL Australia in the back. I guess that's all there is. We'll catch you next week, you dickheads.
See yas.
Later, Horizon.